Welcome everyone to our series of podcasts today. Eric Perez here, CEO of the Queensland Seafood Industry Association, and joining us from our national peak body, Seafood Industry Australia, is Jane Lovell. How are you going, Jane?
Very well, thanks, Eric. And you?
Not too bad. I omitted that you are the inaugural CEO of SIA, and again, this is a great chance for us to speak with you as our representative national peak body. So to kick things off, Jane, I'd just like to get a bit of an overview from you, if you can, as to where things are at with SIA's work program. So, over to you, Jane.
Thanks, Eric, and thanks for the opportunity to fill people in on what SIA is up to. I'll give you a bit of an overview, say, from here till December, of the sorts of activities that we're going to be undertaking. I'm really pleased to say that one of the major projects that we're going to be working on is a piece around social licence. So we've looked at what New Zealand has done in that space with their promise, and some of you will have seen that. It was talked about at Seafood Directions last year. We're going to use the same sort of idea to build a very strong position for our fishers to be able to deal with community concerns and perceptions. The key activity coming up there is on the 27th of September at Ridges in South Bank, Brisbane. We're going to have our next members forum, and we're going to start talking through this social license or pledge that we want to create in some detail. So I really encourage everybody to come along to that. It's in your home turf, so we'd love to see lots of Queenslanders there. And just to make a point, that will follow on from our AGM. So the SIA AGM will be on the 27th of September, 12:30 to 2 p.m. at Ridges South Bank, Brisbane.
No worries, Jane. I'll make sure that on the links to the podcast that we put up, the details around the AGM and is there an agenda available or information that I can put out in that link?
So for the AGM, yes, yeah. That'll be on its way out to you shortly. And the members forum just follows on. So, yeah, we'll have more detail on that closer to the day.
Brilliant. Okay, and I'll make sure to share that out with industry as quickly as I can. So, okay, sorry, back to you, Jane.
Fantastic, thank you. So the second thing that we need to be working on is around biosecurity. I know that's really critical for a lot of the people up in your area, Eric. And the key piece for us is around the aquatic deed. And SIA really needs to consider where it stands with the aquatic deed, what role we might take, whether we should be a signatory or not. So that's quite a key piece of work for us. I see you grinning, I think, on that one, Eric.
Just one thing. I guess the history that we've had with the deed is not a great one, and that's not for want of trying to understand what the deed is, but we were advised some time ago, and it made it very clear that the deed really revolves around the biosecurity response, not potential damages that are inflicted to particularly the wild catch sector. So I'm glad to see that you guys are still, as the peak body, thinking about what that will mean. And for what this is worth from a Queensland perspective, please talk to as many people as you can, because I think there are nuances to that deed that is very different to what our land-based cousins have got to deal with when you're talking about a biosecurity response once the proverbials hit the fan and you've got a disease incursion. And I think some of industry and government lack of preparedness when white spot hit demonstrates that it was the deed process wasn't fully thought out before white spot hit, as an example. And maybe this is an opportunity through SIA to get something done, or at least a discussion progress more before something else happens. Oh, I hope that it does, and I hope it never does, but things being what they are, better to be prepared than not. So, yeah, again, sorry to interrupt, Jane. You can keep going.
No, that's no worries. So a couple of other points just that I would make about biosecurity. We firmly believe that we need to have adequate resourcing within the department, and we've been prosecuting that case. And I know that isn't, the total solution, but we see things like, as you said, having an aquatic deed in place if it's appropriate and people feel it's appropriate for us to sign up to that, so the board in particular, then we should have that in place. But we also need to make sure that the department has enough resourcing in place. And I think the fact that the supply chains are changing so rapidly just keeps introducing, or has the potential to continue to introduce risks that we, I'm not sure how we can actually ever be adequately prepared to deal with them, but we need to redouble our efforts and do everything we can in that space. So the third thing that we'll be really active on in the next few weeks is the Marine Parks Adjustment Package, and I will speak a little bit more about the Commonwealth Marine Parks process a bit later in this podcast. But we are conscious of the fact that whilst this the management plans that have been approved or gone through the Senate are a good step forward, that there are losers or people that are negatively impacted, is probably a better way of saying it, by these plans. And so we want to make sure that those people get an adequate adjustment package. So we're in a six-week consultation process at the moment. So if anybody out there believes that they could be impacted by those management plans, I would encourage them to get a copy of the position paper from Eric. Do that as soon as possible so that you can consider whether you think that the package that's being proposed is going to be appropriate for you. Give that feedback to Eric, and then that'll roll up through SIA, and we'll be talking directly to the government about that. So that process finishes on the 30th of September, the consultation process. So I would encourage everyone to take advantage of this time right now to see where they sit with that. The next thing that we'll be working on, which we continue to work on and have been working on from when SIA first started, is country of origin labelling in food service for seafood. We have developed a PR campaign around that, and we're rolling that out. So we are taking every opportunity to promote the issue, and Jessica from SIA is doing a fantastic job with getting those stories out. We are looking for local stories, and right now we're looking for some local celebrity chefs to come on board and help us with that campaign. So if anyone knows anyone, mates with a celebrity chef, please reach out to Eric, and Eric, let us know, and I'll go straight to Jessica, whatever works. Our lobbying on that point continues. We, in the last week, have written to Assistant Minister Seselja and to Minister Cash. We continue to raise it with Assistant Minister Rustin and with Minister Littleproud. So, you know, we certainly haven't dropped the ball on that one. We're continuing to work on it, and we think it's really, really important. So stay tuned on that one. Lots of stuff going up on our Facebook page on that. When it comes to mental health, another really critical issue for our industry, we're working with WINS to develop a package. So we're scoping out something that we think could work for our industry, and we're looking for some federal funding support to roll that out. So that one we just keep working on. Nothing big to announce at this stage yet, I'm afraid. Somewhere in there we're going to have to come up with our federal election package, particularly given the developments in the federal parliament this week. That may be sooner than any of us thought. So, yeah, that's certainly something that we're actively looking at.
Can I ask, Jane, sorry, before you go on with the election ask, how could members contribute to that discussion? Is that something that might happen at the AGM, or given the pace of what's happening in Canberra today, that we may have an election well before the end of the year, members will ask me, well, how can we get views up to SIA to make sure more that we, you know, that the key issues are covered? And this one's important because state-based asks at state elections is one thing, but the national ask for what is critical for industry nationally is something else again, and any information that makes that distinction clear for members would be helpful, I think.
Yeah, really good point, Eric. And I think probably we weren't thinking to be needing to get this happening quite as soon as it looks like we might have to. So probably caught us a little bit unprepared in that regard. To reach out to our state and industry sectorial members in particular to ask them for input. So I would say at this stage probably the best thing to do is for people to be letting you know, but certainly we will develop a mechanism to be harvesting those ideas. what I would say is we have started the conversations in Parliament around this. So they are well aware of our eight key priorities, which are basically what I'm going through today. They're well aware of our eight key priorities and of our asks around those already. So, for instance, with mental health that I just spoke about, you know, with mental health we are looking for financial support. We do believe that, you know, there's an issue with twice the level of psychological stress in our industry compared to any other. We do believe that there's, you know, a need for tailored assistance for our fishers. So they know that, and that will clearly be one of the fundamental requests that we'll be putting in. So I would suggest that most of our election asks will fit into our eight key priority areas. But certainly welcome from Queensland any ideas that you've got that you would like us to take forward. So probably through you is the first place.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think it'll be more than just Queensland. I'm hoping that my equivalents around the country and anyone in an industry group that's got some ideas that are members, that they make those ideas known, because more heads thinking about this is better. And yeah, the timing of this is unfortunate, and I wouldn't apologise too much for not being ready, because nobody saw the last couple of days coming. So it is what it is. All right. So sorry, Jane. Keep going.
Yeah. So the petroleum industry, seismic issues, oil and gas, all of that's another really key issue for us. And we had our very first oil and gas 101 last Friday, so just a week ago, which was great. And I, you know, extend the offer to anybody that's interested in having one of those delivered locally. So the whole idea of that oil and gas 101 is just to be able to speak openly with people who know how the oil and gas industry works, to get a better understanding of how we should better engage. So one of the things that came out of our first meeting last Friday was an idea to have regional workshops. So we have reignited the federal, the national roundtable, which is a meeting between SIA and key industry associations. So, you know, QSIA being an example of one that can attend. So we can have those national conversations, but we think a lot of the detail really needs to be worked out at a local level, because consultation is very localised. It's a very regional activity that needs to be done. So we are, we've put a preliminary expression of interest into FRDC to see if we can get some assistance to run some regional workshops. So all things going well, we would like to start with our first regional oil and gas seafood industry workshop, probably in October in Victoria. And then I've asked for funding to be able to hold one in every state, so state and territory. So that's something that, you know, we could bring to Queensland if there's interest.
Yeah, no, that's great. We'll get the word out when that comes. The seismic thing and oil and gas is a vexed issue up here, because if you look at the history of port development, there's been issues around that, and with the Great Barrier Reef sitting where it's sitting, some oil and gas projects I think will never get off the ground, because it would have to happen in the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park, and given that it's World Heritage listed, I think we're in a different position. But that having been said, I'm not the expert, and if those workshops are made available, then yeah, I think there would be some interest, because current ports, for example, are always looking to expand their footprint, and that has implications as well. And like you said, all of their consultation with us, at least, is at that regional level. They're not looking to have a national conversation. But yeah, having your finger on the pulse of what is happening nationally is of interest to industry, because it's a nationally significant issue. So yeah, no, thank you for that.
Yeah, and good points, you know, you make about the fact that you've got some protections in place on your waters already. I guess the whole thing, it is about resource sharing, and we can, you know, we do see that we do need to find a way forward with oil and gas. But obviously from our perspective, we do not want that to be a negative impact on our fishing industries in Australia, fishing industries. And the last thing that we're hoping to do between here and Christmas this is making me stressed just looking at all the things that I've actually got on the table. But anyway, this one should be a bit of fun. We have actually been successful in getting a Parliamentary Friends of Australian Seafood Industry established in the federal parliament. And we're hoping to have our very first meeting of that group, a bit of a splashy launch with some bubbles, I hope, and obviously lots of fantastic seafood. We're just trying to find a date that works with the, when the parliament's sitting, and of course, as we've said, who knows actually what that means right now. But this will be a great event, I hope, and the theme that we're going to take to that first meeting of the Parliamentary Friends of the Australian Seafood Industry is all around safety, so and particularly maritime safety. So that's, you know, got to be a non-controversial issue that all sides and all parties one would hope would have an interest in, and we would hope that they will come along, hear our message, and this Parliamentary Friends then becomes, I guess, an ongoing conduit for us to raise issues in a non-partisan way with our federal parliament. So I think, you know, that will be a lot of fun, and I think it's a great avenue for us to use going forward. So that's basically here to Christmas, Eric.
Okay, yeah, not too much of a list to get through. One final thing, I guess, and this was as a result of the win of sorts that we had with the Marine Park process, is what can we take away as a lesson that was learnt through the process? Because I until we had a national peak group, I hadn't been involved in trying to coordinate what was getting industry to let the politicians know that these things were important to them and there was going to be an impact had they changed their vote. So what did you as you know, from your lofty position as the national as the national peak body group, what did you learn from the process, Jane?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say about, you know, the management plans for marine parks is that this is a really good win for industry. But it wasn't possible without the input of our members. So of all of our, particularly our state-based industry associations and sectorial associations. So the thing, I guess, that SIA was created to do was to look at unity and create a united voice. And for me, this marine parks issue is the classic example of how that united voice can be powerful. So we had conversations internally with our members to determine where we stood on the management plans as they were put forward. So we needed to be sure that, you know, which position we were going to take. Are we happy with them, you know, on balance? And I know, as I said before, there are some sectors that and individuals that will be negatively impacted, but on balance, the position was, yes, we do support them. So that put us in a good spot that we had a united position to start with. We developed talking points, a key set of talking points. We distributed them to the key players and we stuck to them. So our message was consistent and it was clear. I think the other thing that was really important around unity is we developed a relationship with the recreational fishers, who are sometimes not our allies, but we did develop a very strong relationship with them, and together we were able to put that even more united and bigger voice into the Australian Parliament. So I'll give you an example of how that worked in practice. When the management plans were first tabled back in it was March, the recreational and commercial sectors got together and wrote a letter to every senator expressing our support for the plans and asking them to stand behind us, stand with us. And the outcome of that was, I do believe it put the coalition government in a stronger position because they knew that they had our support and we had made that clear to the crossbench, which meant that they brought that first disallowance motion on. I'm sorry if this is getting technical, but they brought that first disallowance discussion on really rapidly. So we had, because we were organised, that gave us this power to be able to bring the vote on, and we won it. And we got every single crossbencher with us. So we'd rusted people onto our issue. We we put a line in the sand and they came with us, which was great. Then there was another 5 disallowances lodged, which has meant that the process, you know, dragged on until just last week. So in that space, as a united group, we developed media releases and we sat ready to defend our industry against any mistruths that came out. And we saw some of those attacks. There were, you know, the spectre of the super trawler was raised again. We saw Andrew Forrest weigh in, you know, towards the end of the campaign. And we defended our industry against those mistruths and misrepresentations. And we could do that because we knew we had the support of the whole industry. But we also agreed as a group not to provoke the argument. So whilst nothing was being said, we sat quietly because we didn't want to stir up a controversy when we didn't need to. So I think for me the key lessons are, you know, that piece around unity is critical. So unity amongst the commercial sectors, so people that SIA represents, reaching out to others and making allies with those that are also powerful. So the recreationals was pivotal. Being organised. So when that first disallowance came out, we already had a letter ready to go. And we put it out and we nipped that disallowance in the bud. So we didn't allow it to get any energy behind it. So I think that was that key piece about being organised. I think when you put all of those together, what I'm hearing from Canberra now is that the commercial fishers are being seen as a more powerful group than we were before. Crossbenchers are reaching out to me and saying, we'd like to know more about your industry. So Marine Parks has also sort of opened the door for a bigger conversation about issues that are important to us. So instead of being, you know, oh, who are they, we're a somebody now. And I think that that's fantastic and absolutely couldn't be done without the support of others. So in particular, you know, right at the last moment when we saw some South Australian senators getting a bit wobbly, and congratulations to you for your involvement in this, Eric, you know, we had a conversation, you put the call out for Queenslanders to lobby South Australian senators saying, stand firm, don't sacrifice the Coral Sea, because that was one of the strategies that was put forward, and we won, and we kept every crossbencher with us. So, you know, in a nutshell, it's unity, it's having a good media policy and being ready to act, being organised gives us the power to really prosecute our arguments.
Thanks, Jane, that's great. And it's good to be able to get this filed away somewhere, because this process is going to come up again with other issues, and the tried and tested, I guess, approach here is that working together and having a targeted set of messaging seems to have paid off, and it's paid off with the Marine Park process. And that's not to say the Marine Parks that we're getting are perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they're far better than what the alternative was being proposed as. And most of the discussion that was being had up here was that the Marine Parks, as they're currently structured, at least try to achieve a balance between economic, social and environmental outcomes, which is what we asked for, I think, from the very start, based on science, I guess. But look, we could go into the discussions around whether or not this stuff is perfect forever, and I don't think we need to do that in so much as these processes are always iterative. People want to discuss these things, and I think the Marine Park process demonstrates, at least in my mind, that having a national peak body has its benefits. And if what you're saying is true, and I don't doubt that it's true, that crossbenchers and other politicians are seeing this industry has a bigger role to play, is great news for us, because that's kind of the point of having a national peak body voice, is that you get more of a light shone on what it is that you do. So, but really appreciate it, and we'll bear the fruits of this once we know what the new government looks like, or once we head to a new election this year or next year, what the next government's going to look like, and these issues will keep rolling on. So, Jane Lovell, CEO of Seafood Industry Australia, thank you for your time. I'm hoping that we can do more of these podcasts into the future, maybe particularly looking at key issues that come up, maybe around things like stress and mental health and some other individual issues, because that list you gave us is massive, and I'm sure there'll be outcomes from each of those as time goes on. So really appreciate your time, Jane.
Thanks for that, Eric. And I would just add that we will be holding those members forums on each of those key issues, and I really welcome digging into detail on any of them at any time. And on the stress thing, I just heard this morning that if you take 60 seconds and just focus on your breathing in and out, you don't have to do the whole meditation trip, but it's a stress breaker. So I'm going to try and practice that today. next week as well. So there's something practical we can do to help with our stress levels.
Yeah, no worries. All right, thanks again, Jane.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, thank you. Looking forward to catching up with everyone on the next podcast, and have a great day.
Thanks.